Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio CEO, Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a full house today. We are going to have a fantastic conversation around the industry, manufacturing industry, and what's happening here in Arizona. And I know we've got a couple of guests that can speak to what's happening outside of Arizona as well. And I have to share, before I introduce our guests, I was attending a Tempe Chamber meeting not too long ago, and I met one of our guests, Trenton Teheri. He is the COO for Apex.
Yes, Apexus is what we call it.
Apexus, thank you. That's what I asked about the last name, but I forgot to ask about the company, Apexus. Yes, so Trenton and I were sitting across from each other at a Tempe Chamber event, and he mentioned that he's fairly new to Arizona, and I just said, well, I need to help more people get to know you. You just have this great vibe about you.
Thank you.
And the two people that I thought of immediately are the other two guests. So we made it happen. And I'm so appreciative of Linda Daly with A2Z Manufacturing Magazine. She's the president and owner. Thank you so much for joining us today, Linda.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I can't wait to learn all about the magazine. We talked a little bit about it in the green room. And from what Bretta has shared, you're doing some amazing things. So I'm very honored to have you today. And I mentioned Bretta. Bretta Kelly is the president for BMSC, Business Management Systems Consulting, a quality management systems consulting business for, gosh, Bretta, years.
Yeah, a lot of years.
A lot of years. Do we say how many years? 35? How long has it been?
No, not 20.
20-something years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bretta is the one who actually introduced me to Linda. And for our listeners, Bretta was my very first guest on Phoenix Business Radio X just a little under, 3 years. So I've been at this location.
Exciting.
Isn't that crazy? And it's funny because when I started Business Radio X, it's a licensed licensed studio partner. My founder flew out from Atlanta area and helped get the studio set up and my equipment and taught me how to press all the buttons. And it was just maybe, I don't know, a week and a half before he landed here, I went, oh, I haven't even thought about my first guest. I mean, I know we're going to do a show, but I don't know. And so I reached out to Bretta and another dear friend, Michaela, and they were like, of course, we don't know what to do, but I'm sure you'll tell us. I needed those warm, friendly faces and people that love and adore me. And likewise, I love and adore you. And so I'm thrilled to have you back again.
I'm super excited. I have that radio show on the front page of my website, like,
yes,
with all our pictures.
Yeah, and it's been, and it, yeah, we love when folks do that. And do I seem a little bit more calm and confident?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
You're all dressed up in a pretty dress.
It was really so funny that first time. It was an afterthought, and how dare me, right? But now I think I'm over 1,000 shows in, and double that for the number of guests in any segment. And so, yeah, I'm not a pro yet, but I'm getting close.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So enough about Business Radio X and me. Let's have each of you introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and the community that you serve. And then we'll just get into a little bit meatier conversation. But Linda, would you be willing?
Well, you had to pick me.
Well, because I feel like you're this beautiful umbrella for our conversation today. If you wouldn't mind, that would be great.
My background is technology companies. I've worked for Fortune 500s like Motorola, AT&T, and Intel in my past. And I made a decision, let's say 14 years ago, that I wanted to get out of corporate America and into doing something on my own. So I looked for quite a while for different businesses. And as it turned out, this was the one that kind of, once I met the owner, it just seemed like it would work for me. I left my corporate job, and that was 14 years ago. The magazine was initially called the Arizona Metalworker, and it supported precision manufacturing in Arizona largely, a little bit in New Mexico and Nevada. Over the years, I've added a couple new publications that are like it, but serving different markets, serving the West Coast. I do that with my partner, Kim Carpenter. And we do the Rocky Mountain regions, which includes Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. The Arizona Metalworker, now A2Z Manufacturing for Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, is probably the one that's closest to my heart. I've gotten to know the manufacturers here locally And so it's just kind of my special magazine. I'm delighted to be able to kind of focus on that one today.
Oh, my goodness. A rock star. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here with a rock star. And so this is a second career for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you've been at this since 2005. Yeah,
so
2005. And really saw the vision for it and took it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. And what is it that you love about manufacturing? I mean, that's a pretty broad question because the industry represents so many different other industries and verticals. Why was this something that felt so special for you?
Well, the people I deal with are largely small and medium, really small manufacturers, and they're also precision manufacturers. So while many different types of manufacturing has gone overseas, anything that people are building millions of or hundreds of thousands of, the focus in precision manufacturers here is on aerospace and to some extent medical. And those are two industries, aerospace, medical, and defense, I'd add. Those are industries that we value the content of what these people are making. They really have to be made here in the United States. And for that reason, you know, we've got people who are proudly passing it from generation to generation, working together, bringing employment into, you know, helping to employ with good wages, machinists. And so that's what I love about it, really.
And you get to be the voice for those business owners.
Yes.
And that's how you and Bretta met, am I right?
Yes.
So, Bretta, tell us about your company and then really how, what a help that Linda and A to Z Manufacturing Magazine has been. I remember you speaking about it over a couple
years
ago.
In the first show.
Yeah,
for sure. And Linda's being very humble about what she does for her magazine. So it was at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was doing, my company helps other companies become ISO 9001 certified or aerospace. There's a lot of aerospace standards, AS 9100, 9110, 9120, all these different things. I've also been a lead auditor, so I go out to companies and conduct audits to help them get certified. So those companies are called registrars. So registrars hire certified auditors to go out to the companies and do the audits so that they can become ISO 9001 certified. One of those was a local registrar, and I was doing a presentation at their user group meeting on one of the topics for quality management systems. Linda happened to be there for the registrar doing an article for them, and after asked me if I would be interested in having lunch. And of course, we just hit it off immediately. And I put a business card ad. They're called business card ads. And for a very small amount of money, it's just a picture of your business card in the back of her magazine. And it puts you on the distribution and opens it up to free announcements and eventually articles. So I started out with that. I had never done any kind of advertising for my business. My business has always been 100% referral based. I help this company, and then this company tells another company that needs help about it. So I had run ads and this business card ad for a while, and I was helping these different companies, telling them about, oh, you should get a business card. And then I called her one day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just so excited about it because all my companies literally have her magazine in their front lobby. Everybody knows this magazine. And this was seriously probably 12 or 13 years ago. I called her and I said, I want to start sponsoring articles in your magazine for my companies. Like, instead of buying them banners or a bouquet of flowers or whatever when they get certified, like, I want to write up,
tell their story,
have you write an article. So we started doing that, and Linda goes in, and she's just amazing. She does all the articles herself.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't hire out. She just loves going in to these companies and asking them all the questions about their whole life. And like she said, we have small businesses. They are family-owned generations, and, you know, anywhere from one to two. Yeah. You know, we got a one-person machine shop AS 9100 certified with no findings.
Wow.
And when you write an article, when she goes in there and asks them their whole story, how did you get into this world and how does one person manage 10 machines and answer the phones and do the books and do the, and it's a really interesting article, right? So maybe 3/4 of the article is everything about the company and what they do and where they came from and how they got started. And then there's a little section in there about their journey to getting ISO. And of course, in that part, they say how wonderful experience it was and how much we helped them. And then another machine shop will read this article. What? I didn't know a two-person shop could get certified. And I can confidently say more than 50% of my projects, at least over the last 5 years, have come from, they call me and say, I saw your article in the magazine and was wondering if you could help us.
And her picture.
Well, we've become a little famous. So my business partner, Debbie, we do a lot of like all these projects together. And so whenever our companies do get their articles, we go out and we take pictures whenever we can. And a couple times we've had the cover. So it's really hilarious because we'll go in to do a quote for a company and they're like, oh, you guys are famous. And they'll ask us to sign their magazine. It is so funny.
But how beautiful that it is. And you and I have talked about this several times. It's very similar to what we're doing at Business Radio X. It's that opportunity to give back and celebrate and tell those great stories. And it's truth. Like, this is really exciting. And the bigger media houses, publications, and news, radio for that matter, podcasts, the smaller business owner isn't always getting everybody's attention. And so to have the two of you be excited about that and passionate about that makes just wonderful sense. And of course, for so many other reasons, you two became quick friends.
And Karen, I don't want to take away from Trenton's time.
He'll have time. We got a whole hour.
If I could add, I've always been in sales, whether it's, you know, Motorola, AT&T, I've been in sales and marketing. And I have never promoted a product that I didn't believe in or recommended a product. It's just, that's my integrity. So with Bretta, the pictures of the two women, Bretta being the owner and Debbie, her partner, aren't just a nice picture. They demonstrate like a happy, a good feeling. It's in certification is kind of considered a difficult process. It's something people are afraid of. The typical person who does the consulting is somewhat of a negative, showing them what they're doing wrong. And every single customer I've interviewed for Bretta, they talk about how she made them feel more comfortable, put them at ease, didn't try to change their systems, just tried to make them more formal so that they would be approved in the process. So it's easy for me to highlight her.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is you're highlighting Bretta, but Bretta's highlighting the wonderful folks you get to work with and the thrill and the joy of them getting through this process, which could be agonizing and a little scary, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of nerves and fear and fear of the unknown. That's what helps that both Debbie and I are auditors, so we know what they're going to be, you know, what they're going to be audited against, so we can help them prepare for it.
Yeah.
Which is an advantage. But again, Linda gets so excited when she goes in. I mean, it's a very small part of the article.
Sure.
That their experience with us, it's really, they get really excited just knowing that when they get through the process that Linda's going to come in and they're going to get an article, because I'm not kidding. There's not a shop I walk into that doesn't have this magazine on there. So when they get to do their article, it's a big celebration. It's really fun.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Well, so yeah, pretty cool.
That makes
huh?
me feel very confident now.
Yes.
That,
you'll have an article soon.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, good.
Yeah. So, just the erasing of fears that I have about the ISO certification is something that we're striving towards as a new mom and pop shop, you know, coming here to Arizona.
And the smaller you are, the less expensive it is. That's the easier good. It is because you don't have 25 or 50 people to all be involved in the process. You've got it in place. So as you hire then, they just come into the process.
Exactly. And that's kind of what our format of ground presentation would be, is at the foundation of that is building our systems so anybody can come in and use that system in order to operate, you know, whatever various machinery we have or techniques that we use in-house to standardize them so they move forward. The process of ISO is fascinating to me, and I would really like to get more involved in it. And now understanding that we don't have to hit a certain bar in order to achieve it is a very much confidence instilling. And, you know, just the nature of business, the way it works here with relationships, I can say that the people I've met here so far have gone from business relationships to personal friendships instantaneously. Yeah. And it's kind of been a breath of fresh air for my entire life to come here to a place that I love, that I fell in love with, and now get to integrate into this society and hopefully give back, you know, when we're settled in. So I'm very excited.
So back us up. You're using your Arizona voice. Do you have an accent as well?
actually, because I'm originally born in England. So my accent is actually an English accent when I'm drinking or talking to my mom.
Okay. Well, it's early morning yet. Yeah, your mom, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Trenton, tell us about you and your company and then a little bit about the background.
Oh, okay.
And stay up on that mic for me.
Sure thing. So coming from Toronto, I moved my manufacturing plant here last year in order to be in somewhere where I love. And falling in love with Arizona a few years ago made me go home and back to Toronto and realize, how am I going to make this happen? So I went back, and fortunately there was a lucky break where one thing didn't work out and another thing did. You know, one door shuts and another one opens. It was perfect criteria of that. And the opportunity of showing up here was, you know, that's what happened. We manufacture display units for a lot of POP display companies, and we have done some machining for other various industries, but that was our primary business, was POP displays and signage and experiential marketing. And now coming into Arizona, we have a fresh start. Our machinery is top of the line. We do very fascinating things with high production rates and utilizing jigs and all kinds of procedural things that we need for our business. So it's the matter of shifting now into a gear that has the Arizona nature of business in mind, which is a lot of aerospace, defense, and medical. So it's a direction that I've always wanted to be a part of because it is high precision. It's kind of what I'm fascinated with, making sure everything is on lines, whereas in my previous business, it was more circles and squares and put boxes together and get it out as fast as possible. So, you know, with no repercussions, you know, so that wasn't really a fascination of mine, but it was, you know, what paid the bills and gave a lot of families their, you know, their working lives. So it was pretty beneficial. And now I'm here as a fresh start.
Yeah. And Arizona, what was it about Arizona that appealed to you?
Basically everything, from the moment of like the skyline to the fact that you can go a 2-hour drive and see snow in the middle of winter, or you can go 3 hours and get to the beach. You know, it's like the vastness of Arizona, but also the ability to travel so far. That's kind of how I came into Arizona, was on a road trip from Toronto to California and just got lost in Arizona for 2 weeks. And and that was it. It was like, how do I get back here? And, you know, some people that I had met and the way they took us in, I was just like, okay, this is something I need to work towards. And I figured it was going to be a lot further in my life that I would do this move, but, you know, seize the day and take it as it is. You know, moving my entire plant in 4 tractor trailers on a whim with no customers or anything, just you're going to make this work and whether you like it or not. So, you know, that's kind of like the leap of faith, I suppose.
See, that's going to be a really good article.
Right. Yeah, because who does that?
No.
Right?
Not very often.
Not many people do that anymore. So tell us about some of your favorite projects that you've worked on.
Recently, we did a project with Johnny Walker Whiskey, and it was a experiential marketing job, but it was in direct relation with Johnny Walker. So they would actually send us their raw ingredients of like how they made it, because they wanted to incorporate into these displays. And it was interactive. So if you picked up a bottle, it would, you know, show a display. So there's a lot of engagement into, you know, not just here's a pretty bottle of alcohol. This is, you know, interact with it, see the charcoal, see the hops and the grains and all of the things that go into making this whiskey. And it was pretty fascinating to be involved with the design of it and seeing how like the inception from it was just a basic shell of plywood into this like glorious, you know, high finish wood grain with integrated like technology of like sensors and monitors. So it was like a combination of all, you know, craftsmanship plus technology. So I kind of like love that stuff.
Wow.
That's fun. I'd imagine, Bretta, that when you work with companies, you're fascinated by what they're doing as well when you take them through that ISO process.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about consulting with companies and auditing companies. It's kind of, my husband and I are both engineers. We have that, like one of our favorite shows was How This Was Made. And yeah. I get to live that. And so many times you'll go into companies and you're like, oh my God. You just assume things just show up. But there's like, it's crazy how some stuff is made. And so my favorite part is always the facility tour. And we just learn about, oh my gosh, I can't believe that that's what goes into making whatever, whatever. And then you start noticing it all the time. You know, I go through stores. Oh, I know the company that makes that. I'm sitting on an airplane. I know who makes the signs. I know how they make the overhead lights. I know who does the seatbelts. It's like crazy. Crazy.
Love it.
Yeah, I have the same thing. My friends will randomly text me, be like, hey, did you make this? I notice these kinds of things now. And I'm like, no, but keep looking. Yeah. You'll find something.
Someday the answer will be consistently yes.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hoping so.
Love it. Now, are you, Bretta, you're doing training and seminars as well. So you work with companies individually, but are there other things that you do as well to help bring people into awareness about what you're offering?
Yes, actually, we do a lot of spin-off services. So, of course, our most favorite part is helping the company from scratch get ready to get certified. That's our favorite. And it's all small to medium-sized companies is our niche market. Mm-hmm. I refer out to other consulting companies for bigger projects because we really like getting in there with the small businesses.
But can we pause for a second? How would you define then small businnses? Because everybody has different ideas of what that means.
Yeah.
So for this purpose.
So under 20.
Okay. Under 20 employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
the
so
small
the
small manufacturers.
The profit can be anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I quote it with 1 to 20 employees, 20 to 50 employees,
sure.
51 to 100, and over 100 are custom pricing. Mm-hmm. And all of my pricing ends up being custom because it all depends on where the company's at, what kind of systems they use. Is this going to be exhausting or is it going to be easy?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we work around a lot of things. We work with the companies to make it feasible for them.
Sure.
And then because our niche market, a lot of our shops are under 10 employees, it's not like they have a quality department with managers that are going to spend their lives doing internal audits and facilitating management reviews and doing all of this continual improvement program management that you have to do. Mm-hmm. We do a really good job teaching the company to do this as teams and manage it, but there's certain stuff that has to be done every year so you can keep your certifications. So a lot of them outsource that work to Debbie and I, and we have lots of certified auditors that we also outsource work to if it gets overwhelming. And we go in once a year, twice a year. Some of them have us come in quarterly for half a day and do the internal audits for them. And once a year, or twice a year, facilitate the management reviews and just help them manage, keep on collecting data when things go wrong and doing their audits and finding ways to improve. And then they can just run their business and they don't have to worry about all this other stuff. And we just come in and make sure they're staying up with it. So all their audits every year become easy. We also teach internal audit seminars. So we have in-house seminars for the bigger companies. We'll go in and train a team of their people to conduct internal audits so they can do it for themselves. Or we have public seminars. And those are the best because all these small companies will send one or two people from their company. So you have 25 different companies in a room. We're teaching them how to do internal audits, but we have this interactive, well, my auditor said I had to do this and my auditor said, and so the group conversation is the most educational
so rich,
part of that.
Yeah.
And it turns into like a networking because all these companies work together somehow. They share supplier base. It's just a really fun industry to be in. We did an internal audit seminar a couple weeks ago in Yuma. We're doing one in Kingman.
Wow.
In November. All of those are through the AZMEP, who supports Arizona manufacturing. So I'm their preferred vendor. So they have me come in and do internal audit seminars for their groups of people. So it's really
they're very
exciting.
Fortunate, if aren't I'm, they? I've been to some of the ones, and I actually was a past board member of the MEP for Arizona. So the MEP is the Manufacturing Extension Program, and it is a government-run organization. There's one in every state, and their goal is to help increase manufacturing in that state for small and medium manufacturers. So Bretta has partnered with MEP because the MEP doesn't necessarily have all of the skills. They're very strong in lean and processes like that, but for things like ISO and AS9100, which are probably even more critical to people here in Arizona with the aerospace industry, they outsource that to Bretta. And it does mean that there's funding sometimes that comes with MEP, and it can lessen the financial load on small businesses when those monies are available.
And you don't know that. What's that?
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
But you wouldn't necessarily know that unless you are in these conversations and hearing other people ask questions and involved. And so often as small business owners, we get in our silo, we're doing our thing.
Right.
And we know we have to, in our mind at least, we think we have to do X, Y, Z, hit these, check these boxes. And I would imagine oftentimes we may be doing things out of order or not to compliance. So that's where you come in and can help them from so many different, it sounds like there's a lot of different entry points for businesses to work with you. What a fantastic way for you to be of great value to so many business owners here in Arizona.
Bretta also offers kind of a menu of services that most other consultants don't. So if someone has a team member who's been through ISO before or AS9100 before, and they're pretty skilled at it, Bretta offers, I think the least expensive option is your templates. Mm-hmm. So she's got templates that are less than $4,000 to that are based upon hundreds of consulting assignments she's done in the industry, and she passes them on to that company. And there's little interaction from BMSC and very low cost to the end user.
Somewhat done for you, huh?
Yeah, do it yourself.
Yeah. So do I remember, is that the piece that you had added just a couple years ago?
Because yeah.
I remember you being so excited about this new aspect of your business. So tell us a little bit more about that.
And actually the ads that Linda's, you know, she changes up my ads every once in a while. And she's like, okay, so what would you like to focus on next? I'm like, I think I'd really like to focus on my templates. Because
so you become a business consultant. I love
seriously,
this.
Seriously, I feel amazing. Like Linda's like partners in with you right now. It's
she's that. She's the best. Oh my gosh. I'm so obsessed with this magazine. I can't even tell you. Because literally,
like not just you.
Well, tell everybody what magazines you're in.
I have to tell you all. Okay, I'm in all three of her
magazines.
She's
in all three.
So I run ads in all the magazines, and then every single time, as soon as one of my companies gets registered. So
article.
If you go to my website
at
businessmsc.com, I have a referrals page. On my referrals page, there's at least 200 companies that we've worked with, and their articles are hyperlinked. So just click on it, read the story. You need to read the stories
Absolutely.
About all the two-person
Yes.
manufacturers that got certified. It just gives you peace of mind, and it's just really exciting. But the template thing came along with about every 8 years, they update these standards. So it went from ISO 9001:2008 to this new ISO 9001:2015, and then the aerospace standards also upgraded. The industry gives you a certain time frame. So by September 2018, all these companies had to be upgraded from the old standard to the new standard. And that's so about a year and a half prior to that deadline is when I was really working hard on getting my templates to a place where all these companies that were already registered, they know how to do internal audits, they know how to collect data, they know how to do management reviews, but all their documentation was to the old standard. And it was like a new language. It was really, the requirements didn't change very much, but the whole layout of the standard and the numbering and the wording, and it was overwhelming for a lot of companies. So that's when I started offering these three packages.
I
have a gold, silver, bronze. So the gold package was $3,500 or is $3,500. And it comes with about 8 hours of consulting in person if you're in Arizona, because that's where we are, or we do through Zoom meetings or WebEx or whatever for the other companies. And this just helped them be able to simplify their documented system and get it all compliant and then ask questions and update things. Then we had a silver package for $2,500, which is like 2 to 4 hours, just review of what they did with it at the end. And then we have the $2,000 and for aerospace and $1,500 for ISO bronze package. And that's for people that don't need any help. They'll just get the hard copy book and the electronic copies of all the, and my templated system isn't a merge your company name into it. It's a full blown quality manual, procedures, flow charts, forms, programs, workbooks, and everything's highlighted in yellow. Summarize how your company does this here. Summarize here. Gives examples. So it's really a good do-it-yourself.
Comprehensive. Yeah, that does sound fantastic.
And the price point, I'm naive, of course. This is not, you know, the industry in which I play, but you've made it, I guess the term for me keeps showing up, it's relationship-based. You care about these small business owners. You want to see them succeed and stay in business for years to come.
Yes.
To feed their family, to celebrate the whatever it is that they've, you know, given the world
right.
in any of these industries. And because you're relationship-focused instead of transactional, you've also made your price points very reasonable. And people, again, can find out where do we fit into this, right? I mean, obviously, we're not always a fit for everybody.
Right.
But I'd imagine that you've, and I just know you, so I know you've gone laid awake at night in bed thinking, how else can I be of service? And where can I help solve some problems that no one else is looking to solve? Does that sound,
yeah.
Linda, the Bretta that you know?
So the Bretta that I know, it's kind of funny. When I always ask the customer I'm interviewing, did you check with other companies? Did you did you get proposals from other companies? And in the cases where they did, Bretta is more reasonable than the other proposals. And so that's not surprising because Bretta isn't, you know, she's not in it just to increase her profits. She's in it for the long haul, and she's in it for, like you said, relationships. But probably what's most surprising to me is how many customers never contacted another.
Because of that referral, that word of mouth.
I think what they say is, I see her in the magazine all the time, and I know all the companies that she's doing consulting for, and if they're happy, that's all I needed to know. And it just, to me, in the beginning, it was mind-boggling because
it's still mind-boggling to me. No, honest to God, I have not done a single stitch of advertising or marketing, period. None. Zero. And I get phone calls all the time. I saw your article, or I just had lunch with this business owner, and it's like mind-blowing. They just call me to come in to start.
Well, tell them about
It sounds like this is the standing point of your work, though. Like, you leading by your work and having that relationship and having that engagement brings all of that comfort to somebody who is acquiring services.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Who's nervous about it.
Exactly. Because there is a big cloud above ISO and the way things are attainable. Is it possible for movement? And what do we have? You know, are they going to come in and, you know, acquire all of these details that we have no idea about? And it is kind of scary.
Yeah. Are they going to tell us our business is not being run well, right?
Well,
right.
I'm sure that's going to be a given as much as we
not
try.
Not necessarily. I feel, especially in the small companies, which is why we have this niche market that we have, because everything is very customer-driven. Such loyalty and high ethics. And it's beautiful to work in that. And that's why I don't, not that big companies are bad. They're not. They're our customers. It's just when it gets into the aerospace work or the medical, any of these, there's very high criteria. And so it doesn't matter how good this company is. It doesn't matter if they make the best parts and they are so good. They can have 100% quality, 100% delivery.
Yeah.
For many, many of them, if they don't have that certificate, they literally cannot do work for the aerospace companies. So we are really, really passionate about letting these companies know that you do not have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't have to hire people. You have to keep doing exactly what you're doing, but you do have to implement a more formal continual improvement program where you are always looking for ways to improve, get better, prevent any kind of risk. Always be thinking that way. And they do anyway. They just didn't know how to make it formal. So we feel like our job is to make them understand that you're already doing it. It's called this in the standard, but this is what you call it. But it's okay. You're already doing
providing confidence.
Yes.
And a lot Trenton, of them. You're now getting into the aerospace industry, but in the aerospace industry, those who didn't certify and maybe were grandfathered in for a period, they were audited by the individual companies. So in essence, if they had five aerospace companies that they were working with, they have five audits at least.
Right.
And so when they certify to AS9100, they can actually eliminate some of the one-off audits that have to take place with that customer, because once they pass that certificate, that says they're good as gold. And so that's actually can reduce some of their workload. And on top of that,
I'm just dying at how far you've come in this. You are my new salesperson. Because seriously, she learned all of this from interviewing all of these companies, because they're the ones that are telling her these stories. We had to do all these audits and now we have the certificate, and they just ask for a certificate.
And
they don't come in here anymore.
Continuous improvement. Hey, people don't want to do, everyone wants to.
But they don't know how.
Or it's not a priority
because
they have a business they're running day to day. So with AS9100 and the certifications, they have to focus on that and they have to document that. Well, that's making them more profitable. It's probably improving their on-time deliveries and their
quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Linda, what other steps can manufacturers take to ensure the viability of their business over the next decade? So we're talking a little bit about this, but what else is there that they need to be mindful of and put into practice?
I mean, if there's going to be anything that we talk about, it's automation.
Right.
There isn't a machine shop that you ever meet that says, I'm not having trouble finding qualified employees. And you can buy all the machines you want. If you don't have people running the machines, then your business is not doing its optimal. So when I see companies, regardless of whether they're making 25 parts for a customer or 1,000 parts, if they find ways to make those machines run unattended through automation, they are eliminating the problem of finding qualified employees. So automation, I would say, would be number one. Bretta, what would you add to that?
I was just thinking the same thing, but I feel like you know more on that side too, because you work with so many equipment manufacturers.
Yeah. Bretta has me interview her customers, machine tool dealers who sell high-end machines. They can run anywhere from, as high as $500,000 to $1 million for a machine. They will also often sponsor me to come and interview their customers, and we do articles on them. And, kind of one of the things, so automation, five-axis machining. It's funny when I listen to people who who make the jump to five-axis. Three-axis, four-axis, CNC machining is something every machine shop does today. And some hold off on moving to five-axis machining because of, again, the fear, just like the certification fear. And the comment I hear once they've had the machine installed and running is, I should have done this a long time ago.
Right.
This difficult, complex part that took 5 operations and 25 hours to make can now be done in 1 or 2 operations and, you know, 1/5 the time. That just makes me so much more profitable than I ever could have imagined. So I encourage manufacturers to look to others in the industry, see what they're doing, see what the successful companies are doing, and emulate those kinds of things.
And that's the beauty, again, of the magazines that you have to offer, is that these are the stories, the success stories, and how they navigated their way through that.
Well, it's kind of funny because my job is so wonderful because I never interview anyone who's failing. If they're certifying, they're not failing.
Yeah.
If they're buying new machines, they're not failing. So I'm never in doing an interview of someone who's, you know, I hate manufacturing. My revenues are going down. I don't know what to do. I just don't meet those people.
And again, that's what a lot of our media, bigger media outlets, both publications and also, you know, on TV, are focused on the, where's the dirt? Where can we get the story that somebody went out of business? Who wants to focus on that, right?
Yeah, it's better to have good news stories nowadays, I think, because they're so few and far between.
Absolutely, which is why it's so great for having us all and there's be
never,
champions there,
you know,
that.
When we hear about failures, you never hear about the details that would allow someone like Trenton to say, oh, that's what I don't want to do in my business.
Right.
It's not provided to that level of detail. That's just spreading bad news.
Right.
Good news, we are sharing to the level of detail that says, I need to look into this. I need some robotics. I need this to help improve my, you know, my business.
And it's not all rainbows and lollipops, right? So in the work that both of you do, it's like, listen, here's the real deal. This is, you know, some of this is going to require some work and some effort and shifting and changing. But you get to highlight that, you know, once we did that, it wasn't as hard as we thought it would be. It wasn't as expensive. And now we're benefiting years to come.
Yeah. And you can hear in Linda's voice her excitement. Like, I wish you could see her face because it's true. It's like, but I think you can hear it in
it's
her
genuine.
Voice because she really is that excited every time she goes out to do an article because it always is a good news story. And I remember with both of us, because we're obviously really good friends and talk all the time. I said, well, you're growing so much. I mean, shouldn't you just hire some people to go out and do some of these articles for you so that you don't have to be in 5 places at one time? And she's like, she can't even comprehend the thought of somebody else getting to do it. Like, I don't want somebody else to go in there.
Yeah,
she loves talking to these business owners and getting their story.
Right.
It's like her favorite part. And then she'll say the same thing to me. And I'm like, no. I'm going to stay exactly the size I am. I'll outsource work to people. That is another passion of mine, actually, is to grow auditors and bring more people into this. What I get to do being a consultant and being an auditor is truly like the biggest gift. I've been able to grow and grow and grow and still I have not missed a single thing. I haven't missed a single thing with either one of my boys. I'm there for everything because I get to manage my own schedule. And being an auditor used to be a...
not one of your favorites.
Well, and just because I'm a good news person, and so I don't want to be in there, to be the one in there, you know, telling people that they're doing stuff wrong. That's just not my personality. But I've come full circle with that, knowing that as an auditor, I'm helping the company too, because we're just helping them get better at managing their system and understanding how to do their system. So, but there's a lot of people that are looking for second careers or retirement plans or just having auditor credentials. It's like having a trade, and you can live anywhere, you can be anywhere, and I feel it's really so. I'm at all times helping at least 3 or 4 people work into that industry. We have a pretty good group right now coming along, and you know, companies need help all the time.
Well, yeah,
with
yeah.
the outsourcing
that earlier.
And I was actually going to add that the camaraderie that I found already going and knocking on a few doors and meeting some people of, you know, it's not just selfishly holding it all together. It's passing it along and being like, oh, I can connect you with this person and this person. And I think it's because there is so much work that's available, and hoarding it all to yourself is never going to be the right way.
Right.
And I think there, you know, there's a pie and there's a piece for everybody that everyone gets to do. And the sustainability of sharing work and passing it along, it always comes back around. And I think that's a continuous story I've heard here, which is pretty fantastic, because where I'm from, our business climate is very closed door, you know. There is no, like, you can't come in here and, you know, oh, you're more of a competition than a camaraderie. So that's another shift that I found here, which is pretty fantastic.
It feels
welcome
great.
Welcome to Arizona.
Yes, exactly.
We have a strong tooling and machining association also here in Arizona. It's not, we used to be one of the very best in the whole United States. I think we've, you know, maybe slipped a little bit, but it's comprised of about 100 different machine shops and people who sell into machine shops. With a ratio, it has to be more machine shops to people who sell into machine shops. And, you know, the association holds a couple of golf tournaments per year. We have we have dinners with informative speakers. We have forums like that, Trenton. That might be something you'd be interested in joining. And, you know, there's probably three shops in the Valley, maybe five, that have grown from 100 to like hundreds over the past few years. And what those shops do is they can't staff up fast enough, and they know that, you know, where it goes up, it'll also come down. So to some extent, they don't want to staff up during this really great, you know, economic time.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they use forums like the ATMA to get to know each other.
Yes.
And they outsource to those two-person shops, to those five-person shops. So there's tons of that going on here in the Valley today.
That's fantastic to hear.
I love hearing that. How else can we encourage the next generation of workers to participate in manufacturing? I know we talked about, you know, being willing to give a hand up and a hand across. Mm-hmm. What is there anything else that we haven't highlighted beyond, you know, involving yourselves in associations and professional groups?
Well, when we went to high school, I'm aging myself, but, you know, decades ago, there were classes.
Yes.
Everybody mm-hmm. attended. You know, they had shop class. They had auto mechanics. They had all of these classes that would help you to become at least familiar with some of the trades. And if you made a decision not to go into that, you still had an opportunity to fix your car or do some of that stuff on your own. That doesn't exist anymore, really. So
I'd actually add to that is that one shop class is what was my biggest inspiration of becoming a fabricator. And I actually have the piece that I made at 13 years old on my bathroom counter as a reminder to be like, hey, this is where you started and what you found.
And we're not giving our kids that opportunity anymore.
And I don't see it being there. Either it's like liabilities in school and that everything is kind of closed shop, and the technology wave has really pushed us towards, you know, far beyond automation and machining, because everybody expects everything to become, you know, we're part of the future now. Push a button, it should be here.
But the reality is that those who learn, if they're going to learn fabrication and machining, learning on a manual mill or lathe is probably the way you're using math skills on your own. So it's a really good entree to becoming a precision manufacturing person. Somehow letting people know who are young that these jobs can pay really, really mm-hmm. good wages. They can pay, you know, 50, 80, 100,000 for an extremely experienced machinist who's a programmer.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the robotics programs that are happening in high schools after school mm-hmm. are good vehicles for helping children to learn more about what it's like to design something, what it's like to work with a team to design something, what it's like to compete. I think we, I read an article about someone saying, why aren't we using, what are the scholarship processes you go through? Some of those monies should be made available to individuals who want to go into a machine shop program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So how can we as individuals and businesses as well as government continue to support the manufacturing industry?
Yeah, we need
education.
I think we need to focus more on that, because I was just talking about the becoming an auditor. So it's a whole process. You have to take a lot of training, and then you have to have all this audit days experience, and it's very hard to get the experience because you need the experience so that you can get certified so you can be at work for the registrar, but you can't get the experience because you're not certified working for a registrar. So a lot of my small shops will let these people come in and do audits for them so that they can build their days. Well, another future guest, I have like maybe 7 or 8 just in today's conversation that I'm going to make a list of. But another one is Michaela Scarla, who is just now opening a new registrar in Arizona called Kalos. And it's ISO 9001 registrar. And she's working with community colleges, making it a 2-year degree, associate's degree, to become a lead auditor. You literally are going to get an associate's degree. And when you come out of that 2-year program, you are a certified auditor. That's the kind of stuff we need to do with quality inspection and machining. If we can have associate's degrees accredited with monies for scholarships and they come out and they are already, because it is massive shortage. Mm-hmm. Every single one of our shops is hurting on finding good people. So that focus is huge.
Yeah.
I find it's like the passion that is driven into you now in school and education coming through the ranks is not really focused on physical machining shops. I know one of our co-owners at the Tempe Chamber, he was saying how he has no techs. They've been growing their business 25% for the last 4 years, and he's struggling to find even auto techs just because there is nobody being trained for those positions because the demand has shifted so far over. And I think that's kind of where the automation has kind of stepped up its game in order to refill and take over those incidences. But you know, those machines still need to be turned on and they still need to be maintained. And they still, you know, regardless of the automation world that's forward, it's what people need to be a part of in order to find passion in it. And that's right. That's kind of the hard part if you don't know anything about machining or what you can do. Like, you know, the beauty about my job is that I get to sit behind a desk and work on a computer and do some programming. And then I need to send it to the back and I get to physically go out and do it. So the world-encompassing job that I have is pretty satisfying. And I don't think people really understand that aspect of what machine shop is now, especially in today's world. You know, you're not just standing over a lathe for 8 straight hours with goggles and ear plugs on.
Right.
You know, so.
And, you know, when I meet young people in the machine shops and I ask them, what are you going to do if they're doing an apprenticeship or an internship while they're in college, or I ask them, you know, what are you thinking down the line? Almost always their goal is to go to something like a Boeing, or to, you know, their aspiration is to go to a Fortune 100 because they think it's just so much more prestigious. And what I try to tell them in my own way is that if all things were equal in terms of salary and weight and, you know, benefits, yeah, the job that you do in a small machine shop is so much more enriching. Every day is different. You're working on 25 customers' parts, and you know you're in a small shop. You're doing many different functions. You're not just punching, you know, a clock and then punching a machine. So if young people knew how much more a small shop, a small manufacturing facility, could offer them in terms of growth and experience, I think they'd be more likely to go into those in the first place.
Which is another reason why we're so obsessed with the small companies, because when I'm auditing, a lot of times it's the bigger companies. And so, I mean, there's still good cultures and wonderful things happening, but it's a definite different feel, because in the small companies, they literally have kitchens. They eat lunch together. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will make lunch together. They will make healthy lunch, sit down and eat. Yeah. All their families know each other. There's shop dogs, shop babies, everybody. Yeah. It's just a family environment in most of them. And it's the happiest part about my job, because I'm never stressed about going anywhere. I'm excited. Oh, I get to see George today or whoever and find out, like, is your son still playing football? And how is everything going? And there's you spend 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week in this environment.
That's exactly what I was
just going to say. And less time at home. Mm-hmm. So to have that family and the beautiful, if something tragic does happen, if anyone has to be out of work for us or anything happens, like you have an entire, I'm going to get goosies, like the whole company is your family and they are all supporting you. There is no, oh, you clocked in 5 minutes late and you're out. You know, it's just, it's a different world.
Yeah. And that's been the benefit of being like in a small business, family oriented network, is that it is a lot of that family values instilled in our shop. You know, we're starting fresh here, but back in Toronto, that's how it is. You spend more time with these people than you do with your own personal family, your own personal time. So all of a sudden, this personal relationship building gets gravitated even further because you have no choice. You have nowhere to go. You do eat together. You do take the time. When the time comes that the job needs to go out the door and you got to pull it together, you got to pull it together. But if, you know, if there's a moment where you need your own personal space and time, that's how it works, you know, because it all comes around. And that's what the beauty of having that small network is, rather than the corporate way where it is, you know, you're just a number in a lot of cases and you're just punching that machine, or, you know, a lot of that fabric and value gets lost in that. And that's what a deterrent of this industry, I believe, is that there isn't that kind of family oriented networking that goes on. You know, you're just a barcode pushing a button.
Right.
And that's not the case at all.
Right.
I will say our next generation of workers, when I hear from career professionals and the folks who are headhunters or they're whoever they are in these larger companies, they are letting us know that these younger kids who are becoming, you know, working adults, they're looking for exactly the type of work environments that you're describing, right? They think it's going to have a big name and that it's worldwide, and it might be, but they're going to find that they're not going to get the culture and the opportunity to be themselves in those positions.
And flexibility.
Right.
You know, what I see in some of the small and medium machine shops that I visit is those who offer more flexibility are more successful. I've been in places where this gentleman has 30 years with the company. Oh, why isn't he retiring? He's not retiring because he wants to stay active, but he doesn't want to stay active 40 hours or 50 hours a week anymore. He wants to work a couple of days a week. And he's mentoring these young people coming in.
And he's valued.
He's valued.
He's not being shown the door. After my dad moved out here to Arizona in 79 and worked with Litton Electronics, actually. I think they're L. I can't remember who they are now. But night vision goggles and microwave ovens, of all things.
Mm. Okay.
And when he got to a certain age and he was a VP and he had started at the assembly line when he was getting his AA degree, but when he got to a certain age, they were looking for who's the next set of wizzos that we're going to bring in here, and he was being shown the door. And he that career, that company, those people, especially back in those days in the late 70s and early 80s, that was his life, sometimes more so than our life as a family, because that's how we thought we had to do business.
Right.
And we're not doing business that way anymore.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah. It's counterintuitive anyway. I mean,
it is, isn't it?
Because how are you going to have happy employees functioning on your jobs when, you know, if they have distractions, that's when mistakes happen, that's when quality slips, that's when accidents happen. And all of these things are all due to, you know, your employees' health and benefits of the way they live.
Right.
And not having that, you know, structural grounding, but also that warmth. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, kind
of. You need a balance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you believe we're at the top of the hour already?
Wow.
It goes very fast.
We thought it would be hard.
Easily, yeah. Oh, gosh, no. We always laugh when folks are like, wow, that was already an hour. And I want to make sure that we stay to our time commitment. So could each of you please, to close out the segment, just tell us your name, who you are, the company you represent, and where we can get a hold of you for more information. Trenton, would
sure.
you start for us first?
I'm Trenton Tahiri. I'm from Apexus. We are located at Southern and Priest in Tempe. We manufacture all kinds of things with random machines, vacuum forming, laser cutting, CNC, and that's about me.
And a website is?
And a website is apexuscorp.com. And
yeah, it's AP as in Paul, EXUS as in Sam, CORP apexuscorp.com, apexuscorp.com.
That is it.
Very good. Bretta, Kelly, how about you?
I'm just excited to go visit Apexus. See what you got going on. I already saw pictures of the things that you make, so that's pretty exciting. Bretta, Kelly, Business Management Systems Consulting, BMSC. My website is business, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, C as consulting.com. Yeah.
Yes, Linda.
Linda Daly, A to Z Manufacturing Magazines. Our website is Linda at, oh no, that's my email. It's A, the number 2, the letter Z like zebra, manufacturing spelled out, manufacturing.com. So A to Z manufacturing.com. If you are on our email list, an email blast would have gone out to you this morning about, about software.
Yeah.
So we do email blasts as well.
Not just waiting for the actual print magazine, but also keep informed via email as well.
Yes.
Very good.
Thanks
very much.
Yeah. So
what
we're thinking
treat.
One day in the future, our companies will get an article in the A to Z Manufacturing Magazine and a time slot on the...
We would love
that. Yeah, we'll do a full circle.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah,
to share their story on the radio, just the same concept as in the article. It's just such a wonderful, transparent way of sharing without the traditional sales.
That's kind of like our company motto right now is like we work with machines, but we're not machines. We kind of have like a personal approach where, Apexus Corp. It sounds very corporate, but we're not. We're just, it's just a fun place where you can get creative and also get the job done. I think that's what we strive on is our integrity on that. So it's kind of fun to have more personal relationships. So.
Yeah,
let's keep
love
going.
It. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you again, all, for taking your time out to be here today. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism, Arizona, Business Radio X Studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Owicki. Thanks so much for listening.